So you might wonder, well, why start with why? Some of you might have had questions. Well, what are the spiritual gifts? What is a spiritual gift? Why did I start with why and not what? I'd like to just know the practical answers to the questions of what is a spiritual gift. List them to me. Give me some clear direction. Why would you start with the question why? Well, I think it's so important, as we saw last week, that when we think about a list or when things are defined for us, we understand the purpose for that definition. We understand the purpose and why something exists. And so that's why we looked at the reasons for why we even have spiritual gifts. And I had six of them last week. There's more than six that Scripture shows us. The reasons for why the spiritual gifts. But like any good company, you don't just want to know, well, what do you make? What is your product? Tell me what you can provide for me. But a company that lasts, a company that inspires us, is they also tell us why they exist and why they make what they make. And one of those companies, one of those prominent ones that fascinates me, is just this company called Apple. And maybe just even with that word, some of you go, oh man, those Apple Mac computers, they are just a foreign language to me. Or those PCers, those Windows people and the Mac people, oh God, they don't even know what they're missing with a Mac and a window. But that's kind of, those two companies have been able to almost create a culture in the industry of computers because they have a reason for why they exist. They have brought us ownership into those things. And they have shown us, even through their products, some of us buy in and say, oh, I would die on a PC. Don't ever hand me a Mac. And some of us would say the quite opposite. You might even remember the commercials, Mac versus PC, that came out, I don't know how many years ago, where there was this battle, which one is better and who is going to vie for your purchase of a computer. And some of you say, I don't have a computer, and I am thankful for that. That might be changing more and more in our day and age. But it's important to have a purpose, to answer the why before you get to the what. But it's just as important to know what a company is providing for you. And for us, we want that what answered as well. And God has told us why he's given us spiritual gifts, to build up the body of Christ, to bring us together in love. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 speaks of so that everything can be to the glory of God. But what are the gifts? What is a spiritual gift? Tell me the what as well. So we're going to begin with a definition, and we're going to then see a list and finish with a guiding principle. And here is a definition that I found. Many of these resources that I was working through came from a wonderful resource called Ministry Tools. They also have an online resource called mintools.com, but they really just give you a whole list of the gifts, explain to you a little bit of the definition, where you can find them, many more links to other things if you really want to explore that gift. I would recommend or encourage you, if that's something that you're still curious and looking around the list of gifts, what would be my gift? You could go to ministrytools.com or mintools.com and look at all that they provide there. I found it to be a very helpful resource. But a quick definition of a spiritual gift. And maybe mine is just one aspect of it. Maybe it's not complete. No one's really is complete. But a spiritual gift is a God-given ability distributed to every individual Christian through the Holy Spirit, allowing him or her to execute God's mission in his church. And that's the longer version. I believe the shorter version is pretty much summed up there in your bulletin. A God-given ability given to each to advance the mission of God's church. A definition of a spiritual gift. A God-given ability. These gifts are given by God. And when we give a definition, we have to also say what they are not. And a spiritual gift, to be clear, is not the same as a natural gift. You might understand that just by the word. Spiritual gifts are spiritual things given to us. Natural gifts are natural abilities and skills given to us. But it's important that we know in this issue that it's not really either or, it can be both and. Natural talents are often the vehicle for which our spiritual gifts can be used. Natural talents can be a vehicle in which our spiritual gifts are most well used. I just had a few conversations with some people this week on kind of them discovering this was definitely not my gift. I pursued it, I went for it, and realized, nope, that's not me. But then out of that, I realized that I needed to pursue this. Or another person that shared with me, I just love doing this, and I love getting in front of people. And if there's a room full, I desire to speak. And they shared how God had blessed them in that. And that was the first thing that they desired and saw in their life and pursued. And the Lord showed that this was a gift for them. They blessed others with it. Others came to them and affirmed those things. And it might involve some natural gifts of being okay to get up in front of everyone. Some of us, that's the last thing we would like to do. My hand is not raised, right? I do not want to get up in front. Some of us, God gives us those natural abilities and gives us a high responsibility in saying the truth when we're in front and when we have an influence. Also, those spiritual gifts should not be confused with the spiritual fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, as we know, found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit, the list there in Galatians 5, that's for every believer. That is what the Spirit does in our hearts, producing a joy that we've never had, a love that we've never had, a sacrifice for the other person that we've never had, a desire even to be patient with others, long-suffering, to be kind and generous. You might know yourself how God has changed your heart, and you've seen some of that fruit. And interestingly enough, in Galatians 5, it's called fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. That whole list is lumped into one title called the fruit. And when we come to know Christ and the Spirit comes in us, we gain that fruit of the Spirit. Although when we look here at spiritual gifts, we don't really lump them all together and say everyone has all of them. And a good guiding verse for this is 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, where we read this last week. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. The Spirit, the Son, the Father, they're all working together, distributing a variety of gifts. They look like varieties of service and varieties of activities or energies. They put us to motion in different ways. And even someone's gift of hospitality is not going to look like someone else's gift of hospitality. The way we welcome someone into our lives may not look the same as someone else who welcomes another person, a stranger, or a believer into their lives. A definition. Well, Scripture speaks of how gifts have been assigned. And Exodus 31:6 speaks of this man. Behold, I have appointed with him Aholiab, who is helping the individual there in Exodus 31. Bezalel, I believe. Let me check on that name. Exodus 31. Verse Bezalel. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, and cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you. God distributed to each individual what he gave to perform his function. And this one for Exodus 31 is they were coming together to build the tabernacle, the tent of meeting for the people of God as they traveled through the wilderness. And it says, God has given to every man the ability they needed to put this together. God gives to all of us a variety of gifts. It's promised, even as we looked last week in Joel chapter 2, that the Lord would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And those who are sinners that have come to Jesus Christ will receive this Spirit poured out from God. And Joel speaks of sons and daughters prophesying, of old men dreaming dreams, of young men seeing visions. And even male and female servants in those days would receive the Spirit. God would pour out his Spirit on them. Mark 16, the gospel, speaks of signs accompanying his apostles, his disciples, in Mark 16, 17 through 18. But I want us to land in Romans chapter 12. I don't think we've looked at this fully. If you would, turn to Romans 12. As we look at a few verses, this is kind of where we're going to begin our second point of God telling us what are the gifts through lists. And there are three, and some argue four, areas of Scripture that have these lists of the gifts. And we'll briefly touch on these lists. But first off, God has given us a spiritual gift to advance the church's mission on earth. And really to advance Jesus' words to all of us. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go therefore into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you. And he gives them a promise, and lo, I am with you always. The great mission of the church. Well, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, the context begins, though, in verse 1 as holy worshipers. And we'll read there verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So here we begin to see language of God giving us spiritual gifts, a measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The gifts listed here of prophecy to speak forth the message of God to his people. This word and term is definitely specifically related to the prophets of old, and even prophets like the in this time and age of the New Testament church, where Scripture was still being written and God's word was being obeyed and revelation was being put forth by his apostles. He gave this gift of prophecy so that his revelation would go out. We can look at that in the Old Testament all over the prophets, that they spoke of things to come hundreds of years later. Even prophets of old, even in the book of Genesis, that spoke that God would bless every nation, that the gospel would go forth to every people and every tribe and every tongue. God using this gift of prophecy to speak forth his words. Gift of faith. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, the gift of service in our serving. This service was this title, an actual ministry of the church. The church would have ministries or tasks of service to go out, and this gift is to identify tasks that need to be made to serve the body of Christ or to go out and be a witness to those in the world. This gift of service is in identifying those tasks, identifying ways to reach our church body, to serve us and to serve the world as well. And then it begins, the one who teaches in his teaching, the gift of teaching. This word means to have a doctrine, to put things together systematically, to instruct others in the Bible, to carry across in clarity the teachings of Scripture. And each one of these has different points in Scripture where you can find these. 1 Corinthians 6:15 speaks of this office of service, this ministry to the saints in 1 Corinthians 16:15. Matthew 15:9 speaks of this gift of teaching. And yet these false teachers were teaching doctrines of men, forcing false teachings on the people, although calling them commandments of God. But this gift of teaching is one that Paul encouraged with Timothy. He was a teacher and preacher, and he told Timothy, fan into flame this gift that God has given you. Here in Romans 12, this gift of exhortation to the one who exhorts. It's this idea, the original language means someone who comes alongside someone else. You might have that gift to exhort, to come alongside and speak words of encouragement, or just be with someone, to be a comfort. I can think of no better place in some ways of this than 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it speaks of God as our great comfort, who comforts us first so that we can go out and comfort others. And I don't know if you knew this, but the Holy Spirit, the word for him is the great comforter, the one who comes alongside. And isn't that true that he is the power of God that has come alongside of us to give us the power to obey, the power to walk the Christian walk, the power to remember what Christ has done for us, to never forget. That same ministry of the Holy Spirit, that exhortation ministry to come alongside and encourage someone else. that is also listed here as a gift. The gift of giving to the one who contributes in generosity, to share material resources liberally and cheerfully. To share material resources liberally and cheerfully. Ephesians 4:28 speaks of the changed man. May the thief no longer steal. But it says, may he have something to share. To take this idea of taking all that you can for yourself in Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 4:28 says, Jesus changes our heart and changes our attitude from this take to this give heart. A heart of giving, a heart of generosity. That is also a gift listed here in Romans. And then it says, the one who leads, the one who guides or directs, that is what the term means, to attend to the direction of the body of Christ, to speak of where we are going in leadership and administration. This same word is used in 1 Timothy 3:4. This idea of management, that one must manage his own home if he is to manage the household of God. This idea of leading and directing and going in the direction that God is showing. To do so with zeal. To do so with passion, with strength, to the best of your ability. That's really that word zeal is summed up in that way. And the one who does acts of mercy, this idea of being merciful is to have a heart of compassion, to see a need and desire to fulfill that need. Maybe to team up with the person with the gift of service and say, how can we put together a ministry of service to fulfill this need? All these gifts are to be used together individually, but collectively as a whole. For we're not all the same function as Romans 12 just told us. We each have a gift and we can use it together, being unified as one church, being a powerful force of God's Spirit in this church to the outward community. But that comes from knowing or using the gifts that God has given us. Another section that is pretty familiar for all of us is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the list there that we're going to read begins in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. And you might know more familiar the story that is given after this list about the body. And the body all has different parts. And the hand doesn't say to the foot, I need another hand, or we don't need you, or you're not relevant. Paul says every part of the body, even the ones that are not seen, the quiet ones, they are crucial for the functioning of the whole body. Every brain and limbs and muscles and ligaments are used, even for just a simple step of the body. How much goes into the voice coming out? What does the blinking of the eye, how does that even work in the functionality of the body? Or the things that go unseen, the stuff that is happening inside of us that doctors are still discovering is a mystery. All of that, the seen and the unseen, God says is important. And even in the body of Christ, he's using that same illustration. All these different individual parts are important for the whole. And so he now lists them in verse 4, beginning there. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. Another word for that would be discernment. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This list, of course, is one of the hot topic lists. There's so much argument over some of them ceasing. Some of them were used to begin the church. And in many ways, history is an evidence of itself that some of these gifts were used a whole lot more in Acts in the early church, as we saw, and they have kind of faded away. That is to say, though, that God has the power to do any one of these gifts through His Spirit. His Spirit still is working and is still powerful, and any one of these gifts, God has the ability to perform. The wisdom is knowing, is He going to use these gifts in these times? And of course, we believe, and I would hold to the fact that the Bible is complete. We have the full revelation of God here. We have everything that He wanted for us to hear from Him. So there is no new revelation, no new scripture being written. We have to be clear on that. But let me explain some of these gifts. Wisdom is that ability to apply knowledge to life, to make spiritual truths relevant and practical. Interestingly enough, this same word is used of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, 52, when Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. He grew with this understanding of taking life like a stone, or working with wood as he was a carpenter, and using those principles to explain truths of God. Solomon, the wisest man on earth, we know that's what he did through writing the book of Proverbs, taking things of life and bringing spiritual truth into them. To have the gift of knowledge is to just learn and study up on what has God said, what is in His Word. 1 Corinthians 8:1 speaks that knowledge, this kind of knowledge of the Word of God, this knowledge of our salvation, it can puff up. When we believe that we know everything, or we have a corner on the market on this biblical topic, or we have nothing more to learn about it, it can make us puffed up. But it is a gift. It is a gift to remember where the Bible verse is, to remember the topic, to remember where did I read that, and to have it systematically laid out for us. And we have some authors who have done that through amazing theology books and things where we can grasp a bigger picture of all that the Bible contains. Some just have a gift to do that, oh so naturally. The gift of faith, as we've stated, is to be firmly persuaded of what God can do through His power and promises. The gift of faith, to be firmly persuaded. To have confidence is what that word entails. The power to heal, to be used as a means through which God makes people whole, physically, emotionally, spiritually. In some ways, we have this ability to bring the good news to people, to bring a spiritual life into someone who's spiritually dead. We, in some part, have this gift as Christians to bring healing into those we know. Maybe you've seen that happen. A family that is falling apart, a family that needs to be restored by the truth of God. And you've seen that happen, maybe through your testimony or through a few Christians in your family, that God has begun to heal and restore and reconcile some broken relationships. Gift of miracles, to be enabled by God to perform mighty deeds, supernatural. Prophecy, which we spoke of, to speak forth the message of God, helps. To give assistance to someone, administrative helps, church helps. One of the phrases I love, and I think it is so helpful, is just coming alongside of someone and saying, what can I do to help? How can I help? I know some of you who have done that for myself. You've come alongside. What do you need for help right now? What can I do to encourage you, Paul, to be a help? Is that something that you're prone to? Your heart gravitates to? I want to go and say, how can I help this individual? The gift of administration to accomplish God-given goals through planning, through laying things out in order. We've looked at leadership, the distinguishing spirits gift, the gift of discernment. Literally, that word means to be able to know evil and good and the difference. That's seen in Hebrews chapter 5, 14, to distinguish good from evil, Hebrews 5, 14. And speaking in tongues, this is, as we saw in the book of Acts, the tongues were languages, real languages, known languages. And this ability to interpret tongues, that was something that 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 had to address in the church there. There was so much chaos. There was so much confusion. Even Paul says, I'd rather speak one word that is understood than 1,000 words in a tongue. Because the goal, as we saw, the why of the spiritual gifts is so that the body be built out in love. The body is built up in love. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. There's a good passage, and I think I'll close here as we begin to wrap up and look at the guiding principle. But if you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And in terms of these lists, in terms of what's put here as gifts, you may not be able to specifically name it right now. But what has God put in your heart? Are you using that gift? Are you doing the thing you're passionate about? Has someone maybe discouraged you and you need to be re-encouraged? Someone needs to use the gift of exhortation to come alongside of you and say, you know, I've seen this in you and you seem strong with it and I've seen benefits come out of it. And I just want to encourage you that I think God has given that to you to be a blessing to others. Do you need to do that with someone else, or do you need that yourself to be encouraged how God has gifted you? Well, in terms of a guiding principle, 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11 says this. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. And there's kind of this overarching category that is given here of all the gifts. They're either speaking and leading and being out in front kind of gifts, or they're gifts of service that serve the body. Maybe unspoken. We don't see it. It's one of those quieter parts of the body, but still so vital. I mean, even I think of for our band, some of them are just playing their instrument and they're usually singing, you know, not with a mic maybe. So we're not hearing all their voices, but that instrument is able to go out and bless us with the music and allow us to sing along. There may be gift of playing an instrument and maybe not being vocal, but pushing that music out is able to actually encourage all of us to use our voices and to sing praises to God. Or the gift for some of shoveling the snow that we got 2 weeks ago and using your muscles and hopefully getting healing from those muscles since you did that. That was some heavy snow. But just these quiet gifts that we use that maybe no one recognizes or they don't see it. but how it serves the body in building it up. And as we continue to read, whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. And here's the so that. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What's this guiding principle? It might be a gift for the common good, a gift for building up the church, a gift so the church could be unified and one, that it's built up in love so that the church exudes love. But at the end of the day, we're called to do all things for the glory of God. The spiritual gifts, again, they don't fall, the glory doesn't fall on us. It doesn't end with us. You know, if someone comes up and says, I see this gift, or I see that you did this, and you just kind of know that that's what I love to do, we still just have this desire to say, oh, thank you, but it's God in me doing it. It's God who's changed me and given me this gift to serve, or this gift to play, or this gift to, you fill in the blank. Because at the end of the day, all glory goes to God, as 1 Corinthians 10:31 says. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I love this. Right before the list of gifts in Romans 12, Romans 11:36 says, for from him, the gifts are from him, and through him, and to him. They're all going to be showing forth who he is. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. That's the guiding principle of all the gifts. Are they bringing glory to God? Are they exalting his name? Or are they stopping with us? Are we seeking to gain the praise and the recognition? Are we saying, Lord, may you receive the glory in how you use me in the body of Christ? Or is it that struggle of, well, I want to be the most important. I want to be the prominent. It's humbling. Because everything that we've been given has been given to us by God. And to him be the glory forever. Amen? Amen. Let's close. Father, thank you for these gifts. The list is almost so large to fit together into one Sunday. But Lord, thank you that for all of us, we've been given a variety of gifts with a variety of services and a variety of activities, that even the same gift is going to look differently, empowered by the Holy Spirit in every individual. And Lord, I don't want to mention these gifts and what a spiritual gift is, that God has given us these abilities without also calling anyone this morning in this room, that the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to the one who trusts in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we shouldn't go without any day forgetting that we must call people to Jesus Christ as the Savior, to trust in him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the one who gives generously these spiritual gifts to us. And Lord, that might be the first question, not what is the gift God has given me, but do I have the greatest gift, Jesus Christ? Do I have salvation and forgiveness of sin? I pray that everyone in this room can answer that question, and if not, that they would answer that question today. For today is the day of salvation. We call people to be saved now, to not let the opportunity pass them. And Lord, to ask the Holy Spirit, make clear the gifts that you have given to each individual so that we can use them as a whole to bring you glory here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen.